Bring the phone closer to me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your blessings and helps you have sent into our lives. We thank you for giving us breakthroughs through your power. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for enforcing your will to happen in our lives. Thank you for making good things easy for us to achieve. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for turning around negative situations to work for our good, to work for our progress. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for creating in us a kind of heart that loves you, obeys you, and do your will. Thank you for giving us such a heart. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for those things you have been teaching us in our present Bible study, teaching topics. I ask, O Lord, that even as we have come to lean at your feet again tonight, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Make us to understand your word deeper than before. Make us to know your ways, your nature, more than we have ever known. Have your way in this place, O Lord. Let your Holy Spirit take over this class session in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we looked at a topic that says we are not to have close friendship with those who reject Christ. We are not to have close friendship with those who reject Christ. Today we're going to move to 2C. Which says, do not become entirely separate. We must witness. Do not become entirely separate. That is, do not become entirely separate from the people of the world. Witness to them, witness Jesus to them. So don't become entirely separate. Though we said during the last class that we shouldn't have a close relationship, close friendship with those who are unbelievers, those who reject Christ. Yeah, but today we want to consider that we should not be entirely separate from them. We should draw closer to them to win their souls. So we should create relationships on just for the purpose of witnessing Jesus to them and nothing more than that. Yeah, so do not become entirely separate from the people in the world. Witness to them. That is what we are going to be looking at this evening. Let's read Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So Jesus wants us to witness him to every creature. That is what you know about Jesus, what you have known since you have been following Jesus, the things Jesus has taught you, the things Jesus has done in your life. You go out there and tell the world. That is what Jesus wants us to do. Tell the world about how he saved you. Tell the world about his presence in your life, his power in your life, his victories in your life. Go out there and tell the world about all the miracles you have received from Jesus. Tell it all to the world. That is what Jesus wants from you. Witness Him. If indeed He has done anything for you, start from the salvation of your soul and then continue from there to share with people all that Jesus has done in your life. Every time we do this, we confirm over and over again that we are children of the Most High God. We confirm over and over again that we really belong to Jesus and that we belong to His kingdom. But if you just keep quiet after you have been saved from sin, from darkness, then maybe you have not really been saved, because salvation is not an experience that you really want to keep quiet about. But if it's not genuine, you might want to keep quiet about it. But if it is genuine, I don't think you want to keep quiet about it. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. So if all this while you have been so quiet about Jesus, I mean, you have been so quiet about telling others about Jesus, about everything He has done in your life, about who He is and why the world should surrender to Him and embrace His government and lordship, then maybe your salvation is not real. Because if it is real, you will not keep quiet about Jesus. If indeed you have experienced His power in your life, if indeed you have experienced His saving power, knowing who you were before you met Him, and who you are now after you have met Him, if indeed you have experienced His saving power, you will not keep quiet about Him. You will tell the world about Him. Yeah, so we should not become entirely separate from the world. We should mingle with them because we want to witness Jesus to them, because we want to preach the gospel to them. Apostle Paul said something. He's saying, to the Jew, He became as a Jew. Yeah, I don't know if you have read that in your Bible. Let us read it. It say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 20. 1 Corinthians 9:20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He said to the Jews, he became as a Jew. To them that are under the law, he became as under the law. So here, he was adapting to different categories of people. Yeah, not that he is confused about his own life and about his choices. Just as some people are confused. They don't really know what they want in life. They are here today. Tomorrow they are somewhere else. They are saying something today, tomorrow they are saying something else. They are running after something today, tomorrow they are running after another thing. So this man here wasn't confused. He knows what he wants. Yeah, but he chose to adapt to different categories of people because he wants to win them to Jesus. Yeah. The Jews really hate him, even though he was a Jew. Yeah. Most times the Jews wanted to kill Apostle Paul. Yeah. It isn't because of the hatred they had for him. Completely separate himself from them. He was still looking for every possible means to share the gospel of Christ with them and to save them and to win them to Christ. So, he was willing to embrace the same people that hates him. So much willing. Not because he's in love with the wrong lifestyle of those people. Because they hated him for the sake of the gospel. The Jews hated Paul because he went all out for Jesus. Serving Jesus, preaching Jesus. Yeah, and it didn't because they hated him for that choice he had made, completely separate himself from them. Yeah, if Paul should separate from people, from certain people, I think it should be the Jews he should separate from. Because they persecuted him everywhere he went. Most of the prisons Apostle Paul suffered, it was the Jews that got him imprisoned, though the Gentiles also did did their own part. Yeah, but the Jews really put him in some serious situations, some serious troubles. But he did not, because of that, separate from them. I don't know if you are getting something here. So don't say because there are some people in your family who really don't like to they don't like you because you're always standing for Jesus, trusting in Jesus, preaching about Jesus. Don't say because they hate you, then you now separate yourself completely from them. No. You should keep looking for opportunities to bring them to Jesus. Don't entirely separate yourself from them. So whether there are people in your environment, in your neighborhood, in your community, yeah, that really don't like you because you're a child of God. Don't because of that say, all right, you people you are children of Satan, so just stay away from me. I am a child of God, so let me just stay far away from you guys. Since you are children of Satan, go and perish with Satan. You should not do that. Yeah, you should not do that. And then we saw here Apostle Paul saying that he became many things. Yeah. He became many things. In verse 22, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he said, I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I have made all things to all men. Yeah, so he humbled himself and adapted his lifestyle to different categories of people. He didn't just put himself at a very high place like some Christians and some ministers do. They just put themselves at a very high level. They don't want to associate with anyone that is lower to them in spiritual growth. Some people, they feel like because they are now famous and because they are now spiritually matured, because they now have they have large number of people following them, they have planted churches, they are now general overseers, so they feel like the work of evangelism is no longer for them. So those that should be going out to preach the gospel should be those that are spiritual babes, or those that are new converts. So they feel like they are too high to go out and preach the gospel. Apostle Paul wasn't like that. Yeah, he wasn't like that. He brought himself so low so that he could reach as many people as possible. And them to Christ. So he humbled himself. He brought himself so low, just as Jesus did. Jesus wasn't sitting somewhere telling the disciples to go and preach the gospel. He was following them everywhere. They went to villages. Jesus was there, trekking on his legs. He wasn't disappearing. I mean, disappear here, appear there. He was really walking on with his two legs from one community to another, from one village to another, from one town to another. Yeah. If it were some pastors today, they would say, let the people I'm discipling them be the one to go out and preach the gospel. Yeah, I need to sit down in my office. Anyone that wants to see me, they should come and see me. Yeah, so the work of evangelism is not for some category of people in the church. It's for everyone. Yeah, no matter how highly placed you think you are in the body of Christ, you have to really go out and win souls. Make yourself approachable and then humble yourself to the point that you can talk to anyone on the street. Yeah, about Jesus. I pray that the Lord will help you. In Jesus' name. So the passion Apostle Paul had for soul winning was so strong that he was willing to tolerate different kinds of people. Yeah, he was not a racist like some Christians are. Some Christians, they only go after people of their tribe. Yeah. What about those that are not of your tribe? What about those that are not Africans? Do you think Jesus only died for Africans? What about the Europeans, the Americans, the people from Asia, Chinese, Japanese? What about those people? What about the rest of the world? Are we saying Jesus didn't die for those people too? Is salvation not meant for them too? Yeah, so we should really serve Jesus according to the Bible. Yeah, don't create a different Jesus in your mind that is not according to the Jesus that is in the Bible. Yeah, so let us reach out to everyone, including your enemies. Talk to them about Jesus. Preach Jesus to every creature. Yeah, the Bible says every creature, not some creatures. Every creature. So go into the world, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, so let us learn from Paul the Apostle. Let us be so passionate to see souls of people saved. Let us endure everything that that comes with saving souls, the stress that comes with soul winning, the attacks that comes with soul winning, the persecution that comes with soul winning. Let us endure all. For if the missionaries that brought Christianity to us, if they didn't endure all the hardships and sufferings that goes along with soul winning, there's no way you will be saved today. Let us look at another scripture in John 17. John 17. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. This is Jesus praying to God the Father. He said he doesn't want God to take his disciples, his followers, out of the world, but that he wants God to keep them from the evil that is in the world. That is, Jesus wants us to mingle with the people in the world so that we can shine as light, and our light can rescue them from the captivity of darkness and of sin that those people have. Remember where Jesus said that we are the light of the world. He said we are a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 5. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. These are the words of Jesus himself, not my words. He said, no one will light a candle and put that candle under a basket. He said, anyone that lights a candle will put it on a candlestick, so that it will lighten up the whole room. He said, we are a city that is on the hill that cannot be hid. So you are a light, a great light. And the world is waiting for the shining of your light. But it's so unfortunate that many Christians have lost their light. They are now partnering with the darkness, the evil that is in the world. So Jesus told God to not take us away from the world, because there is a work for us here. He wants us to influence the people in the world. He wants our light to influence them, to influence those that are in darkness. Number one, you want your light to convict those that are in darkness, to make them feel guilty. Yeah. Those that are in darkness, they know when they see those that are in the light. They know when they look at your lifestyle, they know, many of them will say, she's different. He's different. He's not like us. We are sinners. This one is not like us. So they know when they see those that are in the light. And there's this honor they give to those that are in the light. Yeah. Because your light convicts them of their sins. Your light reminds them of their sins. Yeah. So if we shine as light, we will really glorify God in the head. But you know what is going on now? Christians who are supposed to be light, they are envying those that are in darkness. Why should those in the light envy those in darkness? What a foolish thing. Yeah. Christians who are in the light are envy those who are in darkness. Things have gone terrible in these last days. Christians are envying the prosperity of those who are in darkness. Envying the lifestyle of those who are in darkness. You know that these people, they're not in Christ. And yet you are envying them and you want to copy them. That's foolishness. Honestly. It is those that are in darkness that should be envying you. I want to copy you. I want to follow you. I want to identify with you. Not you wanting to copy them and become like them and identify with them. So today you will see some churches bringing down their standards to welcome the people in the world. Yeah, they will say things like, if we make everything so strict, if we make everything so hard, nobody will want to attend our programs. Nobody will come to church if we raise up the standard. Yeah, so we have to just take it easy. We have to reduce the standard so that the people in the people of the world, they can feel at home among us. Where is that in the Bible? Why are we trying to bring down God's standard so that we can welcome the people in darkness, so that people in darkness can feel at home among us? So why are we bending to darkness? Is that how the apostles planted the church? Is that how they did evangelism? Yeah, why are we trying to dilute the truth, dilute the gospel, dilute the word of God, lower God's standards, so that some people will be comfortable with us, or comfortable staying around us? That is wrong. Very wrong. Very wrong. And then the funny thing is, these people who are doing such thing, they will say, we are trying to win their souls. So we are trying to lower the standard so that they will feel free to join our church. And in so doing, we will win their souls. What kind of soul do you want to win? I mean, what kind of soul are they trying to win? You cannot bring out people from darkness by surrendering to darkness. It's not possible. You can't deliver people from darkness by bowing down to darkness. No. By embracing darkness. No. You can only bring people out of darkness by becoming a strong light, by refusing to compromise with darkness. That is how to bring people out of darkness. But the gospel people are preaching today is telling us to do the otherwise, I mean to do the opposite. May God deliver this generation. So as I was saying, Jesus wants you to be light, number one, because your light is going to really convict those that are in darkness. Your light will show them that they are in darkness, and that they can be a light too. So when you shine your light, people in darkness, they will see that there's a difference between you and them. And they will feel condemned. And they will feel guilty. And that is good news. When people in darkness see you, and then they feel ashamed of themselves, that is good news. It means you are winning their souls gradually. Yeah. And then number two, Jesus wants you to be light because your light carries a saving power. Yeah. Your light is able to penetrate into the souls of men to deliver them. Even without you saying a word, your light can do a lot. Yeah, that is if you have chosen to be a light indeed. Yeah, if you have chosen to be enlightened. I have said it before that this ministry is a product of the choice I made to be a light. Yeah, and I'll keep saying it. God did not tell me at any time to go on social media and start preaching the gospel. He didn't tell me go on Facebook and start preaching. Go on Instagram. Go on Telegram. Go on WhatsApp and start preaching. God did not tell me anything like that. Yeah. I, with great passion in my heart to win souls, decided to shine the light that I am, the light that I have on these platforms. And I did not stop shining the light. I kept on shining the light. And that was what led to what we have today. I mean, that was what led to this ministry. Yeah. So, though I know that God has called me to do great things, yeah, but He did not say go on social media. Yeah. So, all that we have been able to achieve through social media today is a product of me shining the light that I have because of the love I have for souls. Yeah. So you don't need to be waiting for God to tell you something and say, my daughter, my son, do this for me, do that for me. No, the light that you have, shine that light. The light that you have, shine it everywhere. Let those in darkness see that great light and come to Jesus and come into God's kingdom. So this is what Jesus wants us to do. Everywhere we find ourselves. I pray that you'll be wise at this time and you'll make the right choice. Let us also look at John 17, verse 18. John 17, verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. This is Jesus talking here. He said, as God has sent him into the world, even so he has sent you and I into the world. To do what? To witness him. To witness him. Some Christians, they don't really understand why God gave them the job they are still doing till today. Do you think God gave you God will give you a job because He wants you to go there and make money? Do you think God will give you a business which will allow you to interact with people because He just wants you to make money? Of course not. There is a reason why God has positioned you where you are today. And I'm telling you, it's not to make money. It's to win souls. It is to win souls. Yeah. There's a way Christianity looked like some years back. Maybe 100 years ago. Maybe 50 years ago. There was a way Christianity looked like. In those days, people see every place they find themselves as an opportunity to witness Jesus, not to make money. They see everywhere they find themselves as an opportunity to shine their light. Go and study church history. You will confirm these things I'm saying. People in the hospitals, nurses, doctors, engineers, they see the places God has, they see their work as a mission field. Yeah, they see their jobs as an harvest ground, a way to harvest souls. Yeah, but the difference is the case today. Yeah, everybody just wants to make money. Yeah, that's what many Christians are after. Money. And that is why we are losing it. We are losing the light. And we are becoming dark. In fact, some Christians are even more evil than non-believers. They are more wicked than unbelievers. So I don't even like calling them Christians. Yeah, so we must change. We must reverse this error that has taken over us in the body of Christ. And that change is going to start from you, from me. Yeah. We must change the narrative that is prevailing in the body of Christ today, the demonic, the satanic narrative. So you are where you are today because of souls and nothing else. Yeah, if I thought you would make money, where does those money go? Do they go into winning souls? Yeah, if I thought you say, God has called me to make a lot of money so that the money can be useful for His kingdom, fine, that is good. Now, all the money you have been making, are they really going into the things of the kingdom? How much of those money you have made so far? How much of those money have gone into the things of the kingdom? How much of them have been used practically for soul winning? Yeah, so we need to be wise and we need to stop deceiving ourselves. Yeah, we need to stop wasting our lives as Christians, thinking we are fulfilling purpose, not knowing that we are just wasting our time on earth doing rubbish. Yeah, so we are here to win souls. That is why the Father did not take you out of the world the day you gave your life to Jesus. He is keeping us here because we have to shine the light. We have to win souls. In those days, I'm talking about maybe some 50 years ago, 100 years ago in church history, people deliberately resigned from their jobs to go on mission field. I mean, to go on missions for God. Some of them died in Africa. Several missionaries died in Africa through diseases, malaria, and all of that. They were willing to die. The more they die, the more they are dying, the more others are resigning from their jobs. And they are coming to shine the light. Yeah, so I don't know the Christianity we are doing today. It's so irritating, so disgusting. The Christianity we are doing today. Yeah, it's so pointless, so useless. Yeah, we really don't care about what God cares about. And everybody is smiling, laughing, excited. And things are getting worse. If God can open your eyes, maybe you will start thinking differently. Because things are really getting worse. I'm telling you the truth. What I mean by things are getting worse, I mean things in the church, things about the gospel, things about Christianity is getting worse. We are not getting better. We are getting worse. And one of the reasons why we are getting this worse is because of our attitude towards winning souls. Yeah, we are losing the purpose of God for the church. We are losing that purpose. We are not after that purpose. Yeah, so that is why everyone is dying spiritually. Everyone is getting cold. The fire is not there. The hotness is not there. The fear of God is not there. The holy lifestyle is not there. So we are getting worse. Don't be deceived by maybe some miracles you have seen in some churches. Look deeper than miracles. Look deeper into the spirits and souls of Christians, pastors, church founders. Look deep into their lifestyle, what they really value most, their priorities. Then you will see that we are not getting better. Yeah. So, what I'm saying in essence is that Jesus has sent us into the world to do assignments for Him. Yeah. And that must be our primary what should I call it? Our primary goal. Yeah, you should see your life as an opportunity to win souls. Your existence here on earth, the fact that you are still alive, is because God wants you to shine your light and bring glory to Him and bring men out of darkness. That is why you are still alive today. That is why you are not yet dead. Yeah, so shining this light that we are should be your primary goal on earth. Should be your primary assignment. Should be what you are really after. And nothing else. Every other thing should come after this one. I pray that the Lord will help you and help everyone of us here to do what is right at this time. Don't forget, the topic says, do not become entirely separate from the world. Witness to them. Yeah, that's the topic. That is, don't separate yourself completely from the people of the world because you have to witness Jesus to them. Yeah. I'm going to stop here. There's not much to say under this topic, so I'm going to stop here. Let me see the comment that I have here. What happens when you start doubting your salvation? What do you do when you start doubting yourself? If you truly are worthy of preaching the gospel? That is a question from our sister. Sister Susan. Yeah, I want you to know that it's an attack on your soul when you start doubting your salvation. Especially when you know that you really, at one point, said yes to Jesus. Yeah, when you know deep down in your heart that at one point you have said yes to Jesus. You have said, I surrender to Jesus. You have said, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be my personal Lord and Savior. Yeah. So if you can remember that you have actually said yes to Jesus, then that means your salvation is there. Your salvation is still intact. So what is really happening to you is an attack from the enemy, from darkness. So whenever you start doubting whether you are saved or not, it is the devil playing games on your soul, on your mind. Yeah. Because salvation actually comes through faith in Jesus. Through faith in what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. You are believing in those works. That's how we get salvation. And we're inviting Jesus or surrendering to Jesus. Either you invite him, it's the same, into your life to become your Lord and Savior, or you surrender to him. Yeah, which of course involves that you have repented of your sins. You have said no to sin. You have said, Lord, I'm not going back to the wrong things I've been doing. Yeah. I now want you to lead my life and be the Lord over my life. Then you forsake all the sinful things you have been doing, and then you surrender to Jesus, believing that believing that Jesus, through the works he has done on the cross, will be able to give you a new life and make you to sin no more. And because Jesus himself will give you that power to become a child of God. According to John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, for as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Yeah. So salvation is all about following Jesus, because he's the Lord of your life. And because he's also the one that will keep you from sinning. He's the one that will give you power to live a righteous life. So you just trust him to do everything. Yeah, according to Galatians 2 verse 20. You trust him to live his life through you. So you are not trying to live your own life anymore. That's what it means when you are saved. You're not trying to live your life anymore. You are now trusting that Jesus will live his own life through you. Yeah, I'm just trying to remind you of the basics of salvation, the principles, the basic principles about salvation. So you are saved because now Jesus is the one in charge of your life. You are no longer the one in charge. You are no longer the one in control. Jesus is the one in control. Yeah, and Jesus is the one giving you the new life he wants you to live. So you are not living your old life anymore. And then you are not living a life that is after the flesh, but a life that is after the spirit. So those are the basics of salvation. So now, if you have reminded yourself of all those basics, and you know that you are not against any of those basics, that is, your entire life is following all the principles of salvation, which I have just mentioned. Yeah, then there's nothing wrong with your salvation. What is really happening is an attack from the devil. When you start doubting your salvation, it means you are under attack. Yeah, knowing fully well that all that salvation entails, you have done them personally. Yeah, everything you have surrendered all to Jesus, except maybe you have not surrendered all, then you might actually be losing your salvation. But if you have done all, repented of all sins, surrendered all to Jesus, and then you are trusting in Jesus daily to help you live a life that pleases God, not that you are trusting in your own strength. If you have done all these basic principles of salvation, then what could be making you to doubt your salvation is an attack from Satan. And what you should do is to pray fast. Pray spiritual warfare prayers. Pray against the spirit that is attacking your salvation. That is what you should do. So devil is very smart in doing that. Yeah, he knows how to make people feel like they are not born again at all. Yeah. So, and then you also say that, what else? You said feeling unworthy to preach the gospel. Yeah, it's also an attack when you feel like you're not worthy to preach to others. Yeah, it's also an attack. It's just the devil trying to stop you from shining your light. Yeah, no one is worthy to do anything. Jesus is the one that makes us worthy. Yeah, in yourself, you're not worthy of anything. The Bible says all our righteousness are like filthy rags. That is, all the righteousness you could do by yourself is unacceptable. Yeah, the only righteousness that is acceptable is the one that Jesus gives us as we trust Him. That's the only righteousness that is acceptable. Yeah, the only righteousness that is acceptable is the one that Jesus helped us to produce. Yeah, so everything that we could do as a man, as a human being, for God, is not acceptable. But those things that we do when we trust in God to help us, those ones are the ones that are acceptable. So no one is actually worthy. No one in themselves are worthy to do anything for God. No one. So it is Jesus that makes us worthy. Yeah. So it's wrong to embrace such thoughts like, Am I really worthy to preach? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. In fact, if you preach because you are not worthy, yeah, that is even the reason why you should preach. Yeah, because that is the gospel. The gospel is all about unworthy people encountering God who is making them worthy. That's what the gospel is about. Yeah, people are unacceptable, unworthy, and then they met with Jesus, and then Jesus justified them and made them worthy. Yeah, so the gospel is all about you receiving mercy from God to become a new person you were not before. So the gospel is all about transformation. So it's not about you having to do some things to be worthy. No, the only thing you should do to be worthy is to believe in Jesus. That is all. And then repent. That is all. Yeah. So no one is worthy of anything, including myself. I'm not worthy to do anything for God. But God makes us worthy. He makes us acceptable because of the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. Yeah, so that is it. So you have to fight hard against those forces attacking your salvation. Yeah, against the accuser of the brethren. So that is it. I hope I've answered your question. Any other question you can ask on the Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. We thank you for showing us how we are here to shine your light, to witness Jesus to others. Thank you for showing us that we are not to entirely separate ourselves from the people of the world. Thank you for showing us that we must become willing to tolerate the people of the world so that we can win them to Christ. Thank you for showing us that we are not to condemn unbelievers, but to try as much as we can to win them, to gain them for Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here, everyone who have listened to the teaching, help everyone to do what is right. Help everyone to be confident and bold to evangelize. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that your light will be sure, will be a sure light, so that it can bring as many who have been trapped in darkness into God's glory, into God's kingdom. I pray that the Holy Ghost make your light a true light in the midst of this dark world, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you will not manifest a fake light, but a true light, the original light that Jesus has called you to be. And so shall you be in the name of Jesus. I pray that when you need to open your mouth and talk about Jesus to others, that you will not be silent at that time. In the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit open up your mouth and speak through you when you need to speak about Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.